I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 will be our text for this morning. I also wanted to make you aware and remind you that next Sunday we will have Dave Murphy coming as a candidate for a music pastor, worship pastor position. We've printed out about 100 of his condensed version of his resume. They're available at the Welcome Center if anybody would like to kind of read ahead on them and see what the Lord has done in his life. I encourage you to do that and to come back next week for that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, unsettling times result in unsettled hearts. So, Lord, I pray that first of all, by your Holy Spirit, that you would settle our hearts. That you would help us to put aside the fears of the coming week or weeks. That you would help us to listen to your word instead of to the promptings of our own fallen hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to understand that you extend to every area of our life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to follow you when it's difficult, when it's easy, and when it's neither of these things and we just seem to be on autopilot. Lord, I pray for Calvary Bible Church, for everyone listening to your word, to my voice this morning. I pray that our hope would be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, that we would dare not trust the sweetest frame of mind or body, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the Quinettes. We love them. We pray that you would bless them, that you would help them even for the next couple hours to be, to think, to feel that which honors you, each other, and this church. Lord, I pray for the deep-seated worry of my life as I get ready to put Jonathan on a plane on Thursday. Lord, would you help me to believe the sermon I'm about to preach to the praise of your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. Unsettled times result in unsettled hearts. Now, last week I made a reference to the elephant in the room and confused a number of our children, so I won't use that expression this week. But times are odd in many ways, aren't they? In many ways, the last couple of years have been challenging, trying, unsettling. There's been a lot, and there is now, especially in the church, a lot of change going on. And maybe there's just perhaps a little uncertainty going on. Maybe there's just a dash of fear. Fear of the future, fear of the unknown. Maybe there's a little bit of that amongst us today. Perhaps we are on the cusp of some really awesome things, but we don't know it yet because it's not now, it's coming. Maybe blessings will spring forth from these trying times that will shock us, reorient us, direct us. Maybe, just maybe. So what should we do? life only goes in one direction, and it never stops until it stops, right? Standing still is not an option. No matter how much we would want to. I remember when my kids were little, I would say this all the time, I would put you in the dryer, but you won't shrink. Life only goes in one direction. And I remember one time we were trick-or-treating, and one of my children, I won't say who, the boy says, my dad puts me in the dryer, but I won't shrink. I was like, it's a joke. Don't share that with people. They'll get the wrong idea. Life only goes in one direction, and it never stops until it stops. So what are we going to do? Here's what we'll do. We will trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. First of all, my beloved, here's what you must do. You must trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We can look around in our society and worry. We can look around in our lives and our emotions and struggle. But there is a God, an unrelenting, unstoppable, sovereign Lord who is not intimidated, will not be slowed down. He is. Trust him. The God of the universe is the same God as 200, 2,000, 20,000, if there was 20,000 years ago. He still is. Trust him. So what does this mean, to trust the Lord? This means, first of all, to put your confidence in his providence. When you're in times of uncertainty, times of struggle, times of worry, times of doubt, times of fear, find comfort in the fact that God is not changed. He's not worried. He's not intimidated. As Charles Spurgeon says, do you think that your heavenly Father, even though he knows that you need food and clothes, will forget you? When not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge, and the very hairs of your head are all numbered, which, yes, I know is easier for some of us than others, will you mistrust and doubt him? Perhaps your affliction will continue upon you until you dare to trust God, and then it will end. There have been many who have been tried and troubled until the last, and they have been driven in sheer desperation to exercise faith in God. And the moment of their faith has been the instant of their deliverance. I urge you, doubt him no longer. To trust in the Lord means to put our confidence in his providence. That is to say, to recognize that God is in control and he knows what he's doing. And it means to entrust our concerns to his power. How many of you, without raising a hand, I know, have ever said something like this: there's nothing I can do about that. You ever said that? You ever felt it? You ever thought it? God doesn't think that way. He never throws his hands up and says, sorry, nothing I can do about it. He's God. His power is limitless. His knowledge is infinite. Trust your concerns to his power. Secondly, well, what does it mean then to do so with all of your heart? Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would say, I trust God, just not with everything. But our text, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does this mean? This means we trust God without division. We don't just give part of our life to God. We are His completely and without being duplicitous. We are His. You are His. You're not mine. You are not ours. You are His. We trust to God without hesitation. We don't drag our feet with God. We are His enthusiastically and readily. It means that we trust Him with no limitation, that we offer no half-hearted service to God. We don't pretend to be something that we're really not. We are His. What must you do, beloved? Trust the Lord with all your heart. So here's what you don't do. Don't trust your gut. You ever heard that expression? You ever used that expression? That might be something else I need to clarify on Facebook this week. But I won't send a picture of my gut, I promise. We hear things like this all the time. Trust your gut. Meaning, don't worry about thinking it through. Just do what feels right. That is horrible advice. Don't trust your gut. Your gut lies to you. Trust the Lord, not your gut. The Bible is clear that we are unreliable sources of truth for our own minds. So why do we trust our gut? Well, because we think what we think. And we tend to agree with ourselves when we think what we think. And sometimes things just bubble up from our hearts and we think they're true. We must preach our mind to our hearts and not let our hearts always preach truth to our minds. Our hearts are unreliable. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? We hear the expression, follow your heart. Don't. Because you lie to yourself. Right? I lie to myself. One of my favorite things about getting ready in the morning is that the mirror is always fogged over. And I can't see myself even when I'm shaving, and I get to think, I'm pretty ripped. Why? Because I don't have to look at the truth. I just listen to what I want to be true. Don't trust your gut. Trust the Word of God. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9:3 says this, there is an evil in all that is done under the sun, and there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. The Bible says our hearts are evil and insane. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to your hearts. In Mark 7:21-23, Jesus, the Lord of glory, says this, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Now, when the Bible says that our hearts are wicked, it doesn't just mean our emotions. It means everything within us. We have to be careful, not only following our feelings, but following our thoughts, and submit everything to the Word of God. Richard Baxter, the famous dead preacher, wrote this poem, and I love it, so I'll share it with you. In crying out to God, he says this: "Keep up life and peace within, if I must feel thy chastening rod. Yet kill not me, but kill my sin, and let me know that thou art God. Oh, give my soul some sweet foretaste of that which I shall shortly see. Let faith and love cry to the last, come, Lord, I put myself with thee." Kill my sin, but not me. So what do you got to do? You got to trust the Lord with all your heart. What must you not do? Don't trust your gut. So how do we do this? What does this look like? How do we put this into practice? Well, I have three areas of advice in this. Not being an expert any more than anybody else is on how to deal with difficult times. But he says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Beloved, my beloved, acknowledge that God is real. And this changes your perspective. He's real on the sunny days. He's real on the rainy days. He's real in the things that give you joy. He is real in the things that break your heart. He's there in the mundane things, like reading or watching television. And he's there in prayer and acts of worship. He's real. Acknowledge him in everything. Acknowledge that God is not only real, but sovereign. And this informs our expectations. God will never fail. And he'll never allow anything in your life that does not serve his purpose. We believe all things work together for good for those who are the called. He's sovereign. And acknowledge that God is good. This tempers our reactions. We hear things like people saying, "I was mad at God." How can we be mad at God? God is the only infinitely good being in this universe in his triune glory. He's the only one who has no need for any shame or any lack. He's in everything. And he's good. God has to be part of our conversation when we're afraid, when we're confident, when we're comfortable, and when we're broken. Why? Because if we do this, God's got this. Notice what it says in the text. And I know I promised a short sermon. I'll do my best. If not now, maybe in a few months. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, do not hear that wrong. It does not say he will make your paths easy. He will make your paths straight. There's a big difference. Every morning I walk my dog Bosco, 80-pound ball of fluff and love. And there's the first part of the walk is uphill for like the first one-third of the walk. And it is as straight as an arrow. And as I'm walking, I'm thinking, you know, you get a little winded. Maybe some people would. I don't know. And you're making your way up this pretty steep hill, and you're looking at it, and it is perfectly straight. That doesn't mean it's easy. It's actually hard. A straight path can be a long path. And this will require persistence. A straight path can be an unbending path. This will require faith. What's the point? God's ways are always good, even if they are not always comfortable. God's ways are always good, even if they're not always understandable. Just take the step. Life only goes in one direction. And it won't end until it ends. Step. He will make your path straight. He's got this. He'll make your path straight, but not necessarily easy. Our path might be a very steep incline. It could be a very steep decline. We might fight to get up to the hill, or we might fight not to slide down it. He'll make your path straight, but not necessarily what you want. A straight path may be lined with flowers and shaded by trees, or it might be exposed to the sun. What's the point? We must do our best to remind ourselves that God doesn't always give us what we want. But He's still God. So, some applications. Well, I think the whole sermon has been applications. But let me attempt a couple of quick thoughts. First of all, do this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Secondly, don't do this. Don't trust your gut. You lie to you all the time. Thirdly, bring God into the equation in every area of your life, marriage or singleness, work or unemployment, pain or comfort, sunshine or clouds. If you think in terms of God, your path will be made straight. You'll know where to go. Might not be easy, might not be comfortable, but it'll be somewhat clear. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for unsettled hearts and unsettling times, that you would, by your great mercy, fill us with your Spirit so that we would be able to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't expect life to be easy, nor even pleasurable all the time. We know that without risks being taken, rewards will not be received. So help us to risk. Help us to step. If there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, bend their hearts to trust you. Bend their minds to trust you. For those of us who are already saved, strengthen us. Lead us to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Christ is enough. Let's sing it together.
Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing no church. my all in all, the joy of my salvation. And this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory, and Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning. All right, church, sing it nice and strong. Christ is enough, and Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, and Christ is enough. Turning back, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me.